We're doing Pirkei Avot, we're up to the third chapter, the eighth Mishnah. And our Mishnayot had been taking us through the responsibility of learning Torah with a group, learning Torah with a shir, learning Torah at night, learning Torah when we're walking, learning Torah not being distracted by a beautiful tree or a beautiful field. And we're continuing with that theme. Our Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Dostayb, Rabbi Yana, Mishum, Rabbi Meir, Omer. We have a quote in the name of Rabbi Meir. If someone forgets something from his learning, once he forgot that, so that Mishnah would have protected him had he remembered it. Now that he forgot it, it's as though he's responsible for his own life. Shneimar, the verse says, watch your life lest you forget what you've seen. So the Torah warns us that we're endangering our own lives when we forget our learning. And this is a point that people have a hard time doing, and that is reviewing what they learn. You'll notice every class, there's almost no one sitting taking notes. So how do people review? It's hard to review if you don't have notes. And all of us have this fault. The Talmud says in the days of the Talmud, they also had this fault, that the new learning is far more interesting than reviewing the old. But at the end of the day, if we don't review, then how could we retain? When we were expecting our first child, so we took birthing classes. And I took notes. I was a faithful student. I sat there taking notes. And it's very interesting. Every pregnancy, I reviewed those notes. And it's very interesting to see how the mind, once you review something, the mind takes to it again. But it's also interesting how we forget. And it's also interesting how when our life depends on something, we take good notes, and we're very focused, and then we retain the information. And part of the reason why sometimes we don't take such notes, and we don't retain the information, is because we don't feel like our life depends on it. When you think it's the difference between things working out smoothly or not, then you take really good notes. The Mishnah is trying to impress upon us that all of life is contingent on knowing how to lead life. And you never know which Mishnah is going to serve you well. We started a story last week in the Parsha class, and I forgot to finish it. I guess I didn't make it with enough suspense. We discussed that rabbi sitting on a train, and he sees a group of thugs opposite him, and it's just after the Holocaust, and he's raised funds to help Jewish children regain their Jewish heritage. And he sees these three people sitting opposite him on the train, and he's wondering what's he supposed to do to ensure that they don't get his money. And they're eyeing his bag, and he's thinking how he's going to get out of it. You remember, Amichai? We started the story, and I said I'd get back to it.
This is not a guess, huh?
No, we didn't. We never finished the story. So he's right. So he's sitting there thinking, what am I supposed to do? And he tells himself, well, the Torah has answers for each challenge. Where in the Torah can I find the answer to this challenge? And he's thinking. And as he's sitting there thinking, and they're sitting opposite him, he decides that he's got it. He knows which pasuk has the answer to his situation. So he turns to these three characters sitting in the seat opposite him, and he says, excuse me, gentlemen, could you tell me, I want to get to this and this stop. Can you tell me how I get there? And they say, sure, that's exactly where we're getting off. So he says, great. And the first stop that comes, they signal him, no, not here. And he sees them smiling to one another. And the next stop that comes, they say, no, no, soon. And he's waiting, and he's already following the way the subway works, when the doors open, when the doors close, when you get off, when you get on. And the moment comes when they tell him the next stop, that's our stop. And the train comes to a stop, and he picks up his bags, and he goes to the door, and they go to the door with him. And they say, Rabbi, please. And he says, no, you please. And they say, no, Rabbi, you please. And he says, no, 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 you guys, please. And they realize that he's not going to get off before them, maybe carrying his bags, he's scared of getting stuck. They get off, they walk down the steps. He's about to get off, when somebody says, oh, my foot! And he pulls back that split second when the door is shut closed and the train starts pulling out of the stop. That's what Yaakov says to Esav. Esav says, let's go together, brother. Yaakov says, no, I'll get to you. I'll get to you. Esav, you live in Seir. I know where you're going. I'll get there. When you give the guy the feeling, I'll get there, so then you can pull back, and suddenly it takes you a little bit longer to get there. Yaakov's still on his way to get there. When I'll have enough strength, I'll get there. Right now, I can't go with you. So, when we say that a Mishnah is something that we have to review, and if a person lets something go of his learning, he should know that it's considered like he's let go of part of his life, we have to know, we'll never know when a specific part of our learning comes back to us. It always shocks me when I meet students after a few years, and they tell me, you remember he said this line? And I don't remember. But it's always interesting to me to see what people retain. We never know which piece of information is going to come in handy and when it's going to come in handy. So the Pasuk also warns us, you should know, it's your life. You might think maybe if a guy forgot because he couldn't handle so much learning, it was too hard for him, he didn't get it when he learned it, and that's why he forgot it. The Torah doesn't hold us accountable for that. Sometimes things are very difficult and the person doesn't understand it well, and that's why he doesn't have an easy time remembering it. The Pasuk tells us, we're only responsible if we cause it to be forgotten. But we have to value that when we do forget something, even though we might not be held accountable for the inevitable, but we've lost a piece of life. Rabbi Chanina Vendosa Omer. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, because with the whole thing where Yaakov said that he's going to wait on Seir and he never went, if I recall correctly, didn't it say in this week's question in the past that Esav and Yaakov buried Yitzchak together?
Yeah, but he didn't come with his family to Seir.
Yeah, they
met into
Esav
one another.
He's thinking, where have you been? There's nothing that talks about, it's the meeting after the...
I don't know. It's too long to answer. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa Omer. What?
Okay.
Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa Omer. Kol shirat cheto kodem techochmato, chochmato mitkayemet. The Rambam has a very interesting pshat in this Mishnah. The Rambam says the simple reading of the Mishnah says, whoever has his God-fearingness precede his wisdom, then his wisdom will last. V'chol shechochmato kodem l'irat cheto, and whoever's wisdom precedes his being a God-fearing person, en chochmato mitkayemet, then his wisdom will not last. So the Rambam explains this Mishnah to mean as follows. He says, the Mishnah is talking about what type of person enters Torah. If a person enters Torah and he hasn't worked on being a good person before he enters Torah, if Torah is just this theoretical knowledge, he's walking into here straight off the streets. So it's a very good thing. But what's going to happen is that the Torah is so antithetical to his behavior, to his habits, that everything's going to be a burden. I can't steal. I can't curse. I can't kill. I can't. So many things I can't do. It feels like such a burden, it won't last. A person has to first try and work on being a good person. The Torah can follow that. But when the Torah comes in and it's a direct contradiction with everything he's been living, then it's hard for the Torah to last. It's very hard for a person to bind himself. You could explain all the logic in the world. But it's very, very hard when it's coming 180 degrees with who he is. Let him go to rehabilitation. Let him work on being a normal, decent human being first. And then the Torah will resonate with him instead of contradict everything he's used to. So it's very hard. It's very hard. Because what's he to blame? You know, a guy grows up in the jungle. How could you hold it against him? But at the end of the day, the Mishnah is giving us tremendous wisdom here. A person has to know how to work his way up. And that's one of the reasons why we started our Sefer HaMidot, although we've gotten too deep already in the Sefer HaMidot. The basic decency has to be there. The Talmud has pages describing the difficulties of people who tried to do tshuva when they had been living a lifestyle that was contradictory to Torah. And the Talmud tells us that sometimes it worked and the person died. The Talmud says that sometimes when you take a person that's 180 degrees the opposite of the Torah, you can't expect that you'll just teach him this is what's right, he'll understand it, and that's it, everything will change. It doesn't work that way. And even though it means stopping in the middle of the Mishnah, I want us to take this for the practical applications in relationships and in our homes. We will inevitably encounter the strengths and weaknesses of our spouse. And it's very easy when we have different weaknesses to look at someone else's weaknesses and explain why what they're doing should be done differently. If you talk to a person that's a diabetic and you explain to them why they shouldn't be eating sugar, you talk to a person that's overweight and tell them why they should lose weight, you talk to a person that's smoking and tell them why they should stop smoking. Those are some examples, but there are more. You talk to a woman who's on pregnancy watch and you tell her she shouldn't be lifting heavy things. There are many situations we're faced with where it could be very difficult to view the other person when we understand and they understand that they're wrong. And a person will sometimes think, if I've explained it, why can't they do it? And the truth is that we're all that way. We just have different weaknesses. If her weakness is, let's say, in overeating, and his weakness isn't telling the truth, they could both sit there for an hour explaining to one another why they're wrong, and they'll both remain the same people. Because the way we work, it's not our intellect that can make huge changes. The intellect helps us refine our changes, helps us find the refined path. But when it comes to that change that's 180 degrees, there we have to work on it from within. We have to work on it from our desires, from who we want to be. It's very hard for a person to just understand that something's wrong and change it. The Mishnah says, Yirat chetro has to be kodemet lechokhmato. A person has to first try and make himself into a decent person, make the big changes from within. Then the Torah helps us hone and perfect it. If the Torah or the logic or the intellect is going to come 180 degrees, then it's very, very hard. It's very hard to the point of almost impossible. And we're all that way. I always say that when the Talmud tells us all the weaknesses of women, so the Talmud was telling us to be understanding of those weaknesses. If the Talmud says they're curious, if the Talmud says they're talkative, if the Talmud says they're going to be interested in hearing and gossiping and telling over, so I always say, so that gives you an indication, don't be upset when your wife does it. You told the turn, you meant it should be a secret. Okay, but the Talmud's telling you the greatest women weren't good at keeping secrets. So okay, that's a given. I always say it should be viewed in the positive as a key to having patience when we encounter it. What?
In a positive way, like learning experience, not telling secrets?
So I think that secrets build a relationship, so it's good to invent secrets. Meaning if there's something which you don't mind if it'll be divulged, you're getting a raise next week, you're going to be promoted as boss of the company. You prefer people don't know it right now. But if you tell it to her as a secret, the fact that you've shared a secret with her builds the relationship. So try and have secrets that you won't fret too much when they come out. But if you tell her, you know, I think my boss is a jerk, and if he were running the company, then the company's going to be destroyed. And she repeats it to her wife, to her sister and her mother, and she says it in front of the guests, one of which happens to be the coworker who quotes it to the boss, you're going to be stuck up a creek, right? And then you're going to say, wait a second, it was between me and you. What are you quoting in front of him for? Oh, I didn't realize. Okay, didn't realize. At the end of the day, there's a price to be paid. And even then, you have to realize, Chazal said, that's the nature of things. We've often discussed, if you tell over a secret, it's with the understanding that other people are going to find out. And don't hold it against her. It's not easy, but so it goes. What?
Reminds me of the quote I heard in the Johnny Cash song. I think it's from a religious quote, but I don't know if it's from us or from a Christian. It says, "What's done in the dark will be brought to the light."
I don't remember. Top. Well, we'll pick up here, Bezachim, next week.